Awesome. Good. Andrew. Mr. Chan. Let's cheer or clap or something. Yay! So, for this A Fruitful Vineyard series, Krista actually has organized, Krista Hyde, has organized various people in both upstairs and downstairs gatherings to just answer a simple question. What drew you to this place? What drew you to the vineyard? What was it? What was that sort of something-something that drew you, initially caught you, to the vineyard? And so that's what Andrew's going to share this morning for a few minutes. Thanks, Andy.
What drew me here? I think I really need to start this off with being just completely honest and forthright. So, here goes. I came here because I like to draw.
Me too.
Good choice. That's not the whole truth, but that's got a lot to do with it. And why I stayed? Well, I married him. So there, I'm done. To it than that. So I was thinking of how to share here. I was struggling with, this is pretty straightforward, but you know what, it's not that really straightforward. And this word came to mind, and that word was to breathe. Okay, it's two words, but the verb to breathe. The in and out, the inhale, the concept exhale, inhale, exhale, you know, the inward, the outward. The indwelling and the expression. That kind of dichotomy here. And it really, all of it kind of centers on that, because if I look back, I wasn't saved until I was 23, so I had a lot of time to think about it. And those formative years were a lot about receiving. And so I got a lot of mentoring and teaching. And that, but by the time I was 25, I was going, well, okay, what's next? What do I do with this stuff? How do I engage? So I got to a place where I was becoming uncomfortable with being in a comfort zone. And I needed to move and to find more of a way to have a life. And so a friend of mine, we'll just call her Christy for now. What? Friend of mine recommended that I come and check out this place. The first thing that hit me coming through the doors was, and I'm sure you can relate to this, it's the music. It's really in your face. And what really intrigued me was the ability of that music to engage people. So what I saw was not just people singing to the world. It was people that were being brought to this position of worship. And that worship, people worship in different ways. There's expressions to that. And there's this freedom when you see people who are in the middle of it, praying for each other. They're dancing. There are kids who are not being hushed away in the bag, but out there on the stage and jumping around and dancing. There's this freedom around it. And to really have that is a testimony to the safety of being vulnerable and to be able to be here, to humble yourself, the humility of it, and being a safe place to do that. And that's what really, really caught me. And that's a big reason of why I'm still here. Back then, I think WCD had this tagline. It was where worship and justice kiss, right?
Amen.
Let worship and justice kiss. And I explained that. That's really, there's the in and the out there. Right? There's a balance of the inward posture and then the outward. And that really defines this living and breathing. And right now, and it's evolved from that to our core practices, which is worship, community, and justice. It's become more defined. So if you look at the groups of worship, community, and justice, there's these sub-elements of it. And each of these sub-elements, there's an inward posture and an outward posture. And I really feel that it is the way the kingdom is supposed to be lived. And also a big part of it was just the people, the connections that are made like that. And I think I was fortunate that Christy was already connected. And I remember one of the first house groups was Andy and Duffy's house that I was engaged in. It felt safe, it felt in a way where it was very meaningful. It wasn't just superficial saying hi and sharing a meal. It was chewing on the hard stuff. And that really engaged. So I think for those of you who haven't been here for a while, don't wait for something to fall in your lap. Just go and get connected. It's the way to really just plug in and see what there is. Thanks.
Any questions for Andrew? I'm just curious. I know this is probably not part of it. You probably won't be part of it. Is there any? Like, seriously. So what I learned from that is one of the distinctives of the vineyard is that we have really nice looking women. That's one of our distinctives.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Johnson.
Sean's here.
Hello.
Without the monsters. Okay, let's pray together for Sean, for us, for the rest of our time. Lord, thanks for Sean. Thank you for this time where we can set aside and really ponder and open ourselves up to you. As we open the Bible, we also open our hearts to your Spirit speaking through your words. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us, fill Sean. Have your way. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sean. So, we're going to be talking about a prayer. The prayer is, Come, Holy Spirit. This is very... in the genetic code of the Vineyard churches worldwide, this prayer is really important and precious to us. Has anybody been around and heard people pray this prayer? Yeah? Good? A couple people here? My wife sadly hasn't.
Sad.
She's making tea. Right here, this is the booklet. This is the Come Holy Spirit booklet. I don't know if this is the same booklet you held up, but if it's not the same booklet, my announcement about the booklet is way more official than Andy's. This is the official one. It actually says Come Holy Spirit on it. I recommend reading this thing. I read it. It's cool. It has lots of really good stories, really inspiring. Another resource, I'm going to talk about resources before we start. Another resource that, as we're exploring what the Vineyard is and who we are in the Vineyard, there's a book right here.
Oh, my back.
Called The Quest for the Radical Middle. I don't know who belongs to this book, but I've read this book a whole bunch of times, and I think it's awesome. Everybody should read this book. You will ignite your faith. The church probably has copies, and I'm going to say that they'll probably lend it to you. This is the copy that the church owns. We have a couple copies, but they're lent out right now. When they come back, you can ask Natasha and myself, and we'll lend them to you. Super duper good book. It has a good section about theology at the beginning. It has a good section about church history. And then it has a very comprehensive section. The rest of the book is very comprehensive about, like, the last 30 years. It's cool. Another resource that you guys can explore. Gary Best wrote a book called Naturally Supernatural, which is very good. But it was based on a series of interviews that he did with Carol Wimber, who was the wife of John Wimber, one of the early Vineyard Church leaders. And all of those interviews are on YouTube. So look up Carol Wimber on YouTube, and it's just Gary and Carol sitting in a garden and talking about the stories that happened at the beginning. But there's a really good one about Come Holy Spirit. Super duper good. In fact, as we move through the series, you can watch the 8-minute interview of the next sermon and be ahead of the game when the next preacher comes up, and you'll be like, all this stuff. Okay, so let's define some terms. Come Holy Spirit. What does the word come mean?
To enter into.
Okay, that's good. That's very good. You guys know what that means? It's a very common word we use all the time, right? Come here, my son runs away or wants to go draw on something that is inappropriate, I say come here. Holy Spirit. Does anybody understand the term Holy Spirit? Has anybody heard that before? Two, three, four
people.
Five, six, seven. My wife again has not heard the term Holy Spirit. It's very sad. Okay, who's the Holy Spirit? I'm going to say who. I'm not going to say what. Who is the Holy Spirit?
Jesus calls him the Counselor.
The Counselor, that's super good.
Wasn't it? He used to be called the Holy Ghost, as in the ghost of, or the spirit of life, so like the life expression of God.
I grew up with the Holy Ghost, yeah. Although we only had AM radio, too. I don't know if
that's
right.
I think it's the old school.
It could be.
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost, yeah.
And now we've corrected that.
Spirit. Spirit is like much more approachable, maybe?
Less Halloween-y?
Less Halloween-y? Could be. Could be. Okay. Anybody else have any insight about the Holy Spirit?
God.
God? We in the Vineyard are Trinitarian. That means we believe that God is three in one. Three different expressions, one God. It's all one God. Can anyone name all three for bonus points?
Your wife.
My wife? Can my wife name all three? No.
Father,
Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. That's acceptable as well. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we have Father, the Creator God. We have the Son, which is Jesus, who died for our sins and rose again. And we have the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Advocate, or it's all sorts of different names for the Holy Spirit, who is sent in this age, this part of history, to empower the church. So, we pray, come Holy Spirit, in the Vineyard. Does that mean that the Holy Spirit's not here? At some points, maybe. Maybe that's what we're praying. I would say no. Look, the Holy Spirit is always here. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is in us. When we get to know Christ, when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit indwells in us. I did not get saved when I was 23. I got saved when I was young. I grew up in the charismatic church. There was all sorts of different perspectives and teachings that are not exactly what the Vineyard teach. And I feel blessed that I got to be exposed to so much different ideas about the Holy Spirit. The predominant one that I heard was because I got saved in a kind of church called a full gospel church. That's a type of Pentecostal. And everybody wore cowboy boots and cowboy hats and full suits when they were on the stage. They played steel guitar as part of the worship band. It was wild. They believed that there was this one experience that happened to you. This one Holy Ghost experience that could happen to you. This Pentecostal baptism by the Holy Spirit. And then at that point, you learn to speak in tongues, and you're good to go. So the stages of salvation were you accept Christ by saying the Lord's the prayer. I can't even remember what the prayer is at this point. Then you get baptized in water. And then the third step, which usually happens in youth group, you get baptism by the Holy Spirit. Is this familiar to anybody? You guys, you had that when you were growing up? No?
Okay. But I went to a church with people who grew up in the gospel.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was in Mennonite Brethren
Church. Yeah, so this is not an alien concept to you guys, right? Vineyard, we believe something slightly different. Not that we discredit any of those experiences. Yes, we do need to acknowledge that Christ is our Savior. And yes, baptism by water, that's incredible. We're supposed to do that. It talks about it in the Bible. Do that. Get dunked or get sprinkled or get sprayed by the fire hose. Whatever it is that you need to do, get baptized. And yes, there are experiences with the Holy Spirit. But in the Vineyard, we believe that it's not just one. That single experience doesn't have to happen. So we're going to look up some stuff in the Bible. I brought my thickest Bible so you guys will think I'm super spiritual. Before we continue, I got to give you guys my resume. Just to show you guys, this is another Vineyard value, is giving your resume to show how important and gifted you are. I work at a construction company, and I sing music to kids, and it is not Christian music, except that I'm a Christian and I sing music to kids. It's songs about robots and pigs. We sing a protest song about having a pet pig, which is illegal in Winnipeg, so I'll probably end up in jail for that one day. I am nothing special. Okay? I am absolutely nothing special. Any success that I've had in ministry, in my life...
I think you're special.
That is wonderful, but it's totally not true. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing magical that I can do. There's nothing extraordinary about me. Any success that I have when it comes to the kingdom of God is all God. It is not me. Anything that I can do, you can do. Anything that Andy can do, or Nathan can do, or John Wimber could do. John Wimber was, you know, we talk about him like he was a giant. We can do that. It's all the same. It's all the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit in John Wimber, it's the same Spirit in me, it's the same Spirit in my wife, who's never heard of the Holy Spirit. Same Spirit. Okay, so that's my resume. Here's my super thick Bible, so everybody has to listen to me. Who brought a Bible? Or a Bible on your phone, maybe? Okay, so we're going to look up three things. We just spent the last 2 years in our house group teaching through the book of Luke, and so it's weird not looking Luke up, but there's actually turns out to be other books in the Bible. Someone look up John 20. 21 and 22. It's on page 1820. Oh, wait, sorry. 1821. And then someone else, so who has that one? Who has that one? You got it? You got John? Someone else look up Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And, someone else, okay, who is that one? You got it? Okay, Janelle's got one. Okay, someone else, look up another verse in Acts, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Got it? You do it. You were like, psh, I don't read really this. That's how you got it so fast. Okay, who has John? You got John? You want to read John? You want to read it into the microphone?
Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Outstanding. Thank you very much. Just a round of applause. Okay. That happens before Pentecost. Jesus, at that point, had risen from the grave. He hasn't ascended yet. He's still hanging out with the disciples. or the apostles, or whatever we were calling them at that point. They're still disciples. And he has not gone away. And the disciples had not come back to Jerusalem, and they had not gotten to the upper room where the Pentecost experience has happened. Jesus breathes on his disciples, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Seems a bit early, right? Okay, who has Acts chapter 2?
Verse 1 to 4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, you don't need a microphone. We have to make it official.
Okay.
Because anything I can do, you know.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Let's give a round. Okay, so that is the big one. That's the one we all talk about. That's the one that I grew up with, the big Pentecostal experience. Pentecost happens. Tongues of fire, everybody's head is on fire, and they get to speak in different languages. Blah. Has anyone had an experience like that?
I have not.
I'll be honest with you, I've never seen anything like that in my life. That would be cool, though. Acts 4:31.
After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Sir, thank you. Okay, so here we go. We have three. I'm just using those three. There's lots and lots and lots and lots of Holy Spirit in the Bible, Old and New Testament. But here we go with three different examples of these people having experiences where they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Multiple visitations, multiple experiences. What's the word that we, in the vineyard we like to use? Infillings. Right? Infillings? That is a vineyard word. I don't know if it's actually a vineyard word. But people in the vineyard say it. Okay? We don't have a trademark. But it is, we have had three infillings of the Holy Spirit, all of which empowered the people who were filled, all of which encouraged, emboldened them to act, and not to do sound on a Sunday morning, and not to collect offering, but to do like amazing kingdom things, things that that they would not have been able to do before. And these guys were nothing special. They were absolutely nothing special. You can do anything that these guys could do, because it's the same Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit. Is an important prayer to us. I just wanted to lay some groundwork about, just to make sure that everybody was on the same page, that even if you've had an experience with the Holy Spirit, it's not done. The Holy Spirit is still at work in your life and can fill you up again and again. I'm going to tell you a little bit of history right now. We're going to go back to 1980 in the Wayback Machine. Who was born in 1980? I was 4 years old. You were 17? You were 73? You look great.
That's one of our
distinctives. Mother's Day, 1980, Yorba Linda, California. Yes! There is a place called Yorba Linda, California. Yorba Linda. This is the location of, I believe... No, actually, there was... I think Ken Gullickson had moved off and done another vineyard at this point. But this is the vineyard of that John Wimber was the head pastor of. I don't even know if they used the word pastor at that point in the vineyard. That may have come later. But he was like the biggest guy. He spoke the loudest. He stood at the microphone the most, and he did a lot of the teaching. John Wimber, Yorba Linda, 1980. There was a young guy named Lonnie Frisbee, who isn't with us anymore. Lonnie Frisbee, who was a hippie. He was a filthy hippie. He got saved in the Jesus People movement. He had a lot of really awesome things to say. He was a he was just like waiting for an opportunity to teach. Young guy, please give me the microphone. I got something to say. Wimber, the way that Carol Wimber talks about it, she says that John had had a word from God that he's supposed to ask Lonnie to teach, and John was dreading it because John was like a super good communicator and concise and systematic. He was a really good speaker, and here was this young, you know, firecracker, and he didn't know what was going to happen. So he, you know, with great fear and trembling, asks Lonnie to teach that Sunday, and Lonnie's super excited. He shows up, and the message is great. John was super surprised. Here's this kid, and he is giving this really, really good message on, I can't remember what the message was, holiness or something like that. Some Jesus-y kind of message. And at the end, it's starting to wrap up. And these aren't the exact words that Lonnie said. It was something a little bit longer, but you could sum it up. He stands at the microphone and he says, "Come, Holy Spirit." Wait for a second. And then it's like a bomb dropped on the place. People are falling over. People are screaming. People are, like, chairs are flying across the room. Like, it's chaos. It's super dramatic. This church was a very peaceful church. It was like church service up here, except, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Very calm, very intellectual, and people are going crazy in this room. Wimber is super angry about this. He's at the back, and he's like trying to wade through the sea of chaos to get to the microphone, and it's like hopeless. He can never get up there. It is a super duper messy service. And he's angry. He wants to strangle Lonnie Frisbee. What did you do? You wrecked my church. People are slamming their Bibles shut and walking out the door. I'm never going to darken the doors of this place again, they say to Wimber on the way out. How sad is that? That would be very sad for someone to hear, especially a pastor. So Wimber goes home that night, and he says, okay, I need to figure this out. Was that God? And he looks through the Bible, front end, studies all night, doesn't go to sleep, and he cannot find the prayer, "Come, the Holy Spirit," anywhere. It's not there. He does see lots of stuff about manifestations of the Holy Spirit, even in the Old Testament, how the glory of the Lord had come into the temple, or into the tabernacle, and how the priest couldn't even stand up to minister. You guys should study that section. There's all this preamble, dozens, hundreds of pages, where it's like, this is how you build the tabernacle. This is like the exact measurement. And this is how you are supposed to minister before me, the Lord your God, the holiest of holy. And do this, step this way, wear this, clean this. It feels almost impossible to be able to achieve the precision that God is asking for in ministering to him in the tabernacle. And then they assemble it and get it perfectly. Everybody goes inside, and what happens? The first thing that happens is the glory of the Lord comes down, and nobody can even stand up to do anything that he told them to do. It's all there. It's all in the Bible. But no, come Holy Spirit. So, that night, he gets a call after frantically looking through the Bible and not being able to find this come Holy Spirit prayer. And it's a friend from
Colorado or something like that, a vineyard up there, and saying, God woke me up and told him to call you to say it was him. And so John closed his Bible, and that was a turning point in the history of the vineyard. And now we're totally comfortable saying, come Holy Spirit. Not that we're saying the Holy Spirit isn't here. We're saying, Holy Spirit, we believe that you're here. We want you to come and be the Lord of this gathering, the Lord of everything that we're doing. Would you do the thing that you want to do? What would church look like if we got out of the way and let God do it? Let God do church his way. Sometimes it looks like a bomb drops. The aftermath of that Mother's Day thing, within 4 months, they baptized 700 new converts. 700 people got saved in 4 months. Got saved and baptized in 4 months. It wasn't that every Sunday they got together and they had a big ruckusy time, but the Holy Spirit had empowered all the people in those congregations, who then just brought the Holy Spirit into the world. But that's what the point is. That's why we're here. We get the Spirit here so that we can take the Spirit there. This is only a piece. This is our practice ground. Wimber used to say, people used to come and say to him, well, that's great that you have that's great that you have, you know, all these people who are excited and stuff like that, but your messages, they're weak. Like, I'm tired of eating the baby food. I want the meat. Where's the meat? And Wimber would say, the meat is on the street. And it's true. Like, that is where we're supposed to go. We take what we get here, and we take it out there. It's not just for us. It's in us to share. Did that rhyme? It's true because it rhymes. 700 people! 700 people got baptized in 4 months! Oh, how I want to see that! Oh! Everything would be different. Everything. Are we okay with that? Are we okay with that? 700 people. Our whole church culture would be dramatically rewritten in that kind of influx of people. Because what's the church? The church isn't like this building or these books or our core practices or our eldership or Andy and the pastoral team. The church is made up of the people who are in here. We are the church. Like, that is what the church is the people. And not that Andy's not part of the church. Andy's full part of the church. But everything would change. Lonnie Frisbee was not a magician. He didn't have anything special with him. He was just a guy. I'm going to talk lots of time. I'm going to hit all the points. I'm going to talk briefly here about two things. I want to talk about a guy named Daniel Kish. Daniel Kish is a man. He's still alive. He's a guy in the States. And he is blind. At 13 months old, he had cancer in his eyes, and doctors cut his eyes out so that he would be able to live. So, can't see, no eyes, but he got to live. When he was growing up until 13 months, he was a very kinetic child. And I've got a little boy named Jude, and he's a super kinetic child. He's always climbing on stuff. Daniel's mother says that he was the same way. He was a climber, he was a runner. And she felt terrible that his eyes were gone and that he would have to stop any of that. And he didn't want to. Even though he didn't have eyes anymore, he still would run. He would run into things. He would fall off of things considerably more because he lost his sight, obviously. But he also started doing this thing, this clicking thing. It was like all the time.
And her mother didn't know what that was. And the school tried to discourage him from doing it. And the association of, there's the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, whatever the equivalent was in his area in the United States, they also said, well, that's not socially acceptable, don't do the clicking. What was happening, everybody touch your ears for a second here. Feel them. They're not flat, they've got these ridges, they've got these weird bits in them. It's a little bit up here, inside, around here. Our ears were created for more than hearing, it turns out. So what Daniel at 13 months had discovered, well, 13 months, as he grew past 13 months, was that as he clicked, there was a piece of humanity that most of us just ignore, an ability that God put into us called echolocation. Daniel could tell what was around him by clicking. He would click, the sound would bounce off, and his ears, like the shape of his ears, he would be able to interpret as he grew and learned. So he could tell that there was a music stand in front of him. He could tell if there was a tree. He could tell how high the tree was. He could climb the tree. Daniel, as an adult, can ride a bike. Daniel can go for walks. He can go mountain climbing. He can go for walks in the woods in the dark, which is something that we can't do because it's all the same to him. When you hook Daniel up to an MRI machine and you hear him clicking, his visual cortex is lighting up. Daniel can see without eyes. When you ask him to describe what he's seeing, he can describe pictures. He doesn't have he can't read a sign. He doesn't have any light or color, but it's pictures. He actually sees pictures. His brain, like our eyes, they're just organs, right? They are these two globules of whatever they are, gelatin, and they've got a nerve that runs back into our brain, into our visual cortex, and it interprets the data that comes in through light into our eyes as pictures. Daniel's ears do that too. He has about the level ability to see as our peripheral vision. You don't need eyes in order to see. Everybody in Daniel's life told him blind people can't do that. But Daniel's not a magician, and he didn't do anything special. He just did how he was built. The same way we're all built. We're built in a certain way, right? We're built in a certain way, but the expectations of others prevented many blind people, it could have prevented Daniel, if it hadn't been for his mom, from seeing, even though he didn't have eyes. Now he spends his whole life traveling around the world and teaching kids how to use echolocation and be able to see, but giving sight back to children. That's pretty cool. It's the same way with us, when we gather together and we talk about the Holy Spirit, and we invite the Holy Spirit, our own expectations can prevent us from experiencing the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that we have the ability to turn off God. I would never say that. God is sovereign. And just like in Yorba Linda in 1980 on Mother's Day, sometimes if God wants to do something, God's going to do something. Just like when the tabernacle was assembled and the priest went in, God wanted to do something, God did something. However, sometimes we need to position ourselves in a spirit of expectation. We need to gather together and say, today the Holy Spirit will do something. I don't know what it's going to be because God is sovereign. God gets to do whatever he wants. And sometimes it's going to be gentle. Sometimes it's going to be dramatic. Sometimes it's going to be something that only happens inside. Or it will be a word that you hear. Or sometimes some memory will come up. Or sometimes a physical healing will happen. Sometimes 700 people will be baptized in 4 months. It's up to him. It's all his power. We can't turn off God. But we can turn on our expectations and wait for him and allow him to be the Lord of every one of our gatherings.
gatherings, every one of our movements in life, every one of our experiences out in the world. We can have that expectation. You don't have to have that just in church. You can have that expectation when you go to the grocery store. What's the Holy Spirit going to do here? Does anybody... Oh yeah, we already established that people have Bibles here. Can someone new look up 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11? Sonia Braun, come up to the microphone. Remember Bible drills? Did anyone grow up with Bible drills? You had to hold the Bible over your head?
They were called your swords.
Sword drills?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I can't remember. I just remember holding the Bible, and you had to quickly... I was so terrible at those. I can never remember the order that the books would be. I was designed for Google. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, yeah.
There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines.
Thank you. So, okay. Those are gifts of the Spirit. You guys know gifts of the Spirit? Gifts, is that an expression common for everybody? People have heard that before? Okay, so gifts of the Spirit. The Lord, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost gives gifts. How the Holy Spirit wants to give gifts, the Holy Spirit gives gifts. The people who receive the gifts, nothing special, except that they have something special inside of them. There is no calling that anyone has that is greater than the calling that another one has. Natasha has the same level of calling, even though she's never heard of the Holy Ghost or anything, as Sonia, as John Wimber, as the Pope, as, I don't know who else, Martin Luther King Jr. All of us have the same level of calling. There's no tears. The Holy Spirit gives gifts as the Holy Spirit gives gifts. And the Holy Spirit gives gifts to us all. All of us are vessels for the gifts of the Spirit. Is this concept, like the concept, okay, is not alien to you guys, because we've talked about this just a second ago. The concept in practice, is this an alien concept for you guys? Have you experienced the gifts of the Spirit? Are there experiences that you have had where, oh, that wasn't me? There's some that that are easy to fake, like tongues. Tongues is listed in there, the tongues, you know, the whatever, the Shibabahana stuff. That's super easy to fake, right? I'm not saying that it's fake. I'm just saying it's super easy to fake. And then there's the some stuff that's pretty hard to fake, like healing. Like healing people. A few weeks ago, Nathan, you guys know Nathan. Nathan spoke up here about, he talked briefly about over-realized eschatology, which is a fancy way of saying pretending. and that's a practice that is common in the Christian church in certain circles, where people, someone prays for them. Let's say they get a gash in their neck and there's blood spraying. If you have over-realized eschatology, someone prays for you, God, please close this gash up.
the person would then take the hand off of the gushing gash and say, thank you, God, I am healed, as they bleed to death, even if they aren't healed. Sometimes it doesn't work, right? That's called over-realized eschatology. That's the full belief that we are now in heaven and everything that we do will always succeed. But we can probably learn a little bit about faith from those guys. Where was I going with that?
Gifts
of the Spirit. Yes. Healing is super hard to fake. If I pray for someone and they have a broken leg and then suddenly they don't have a broken leg, how would we fake that? I don't know how we would fake that. I had a friend in the early days of this church. Okay, so I had this friend named Laura Lee. And there was a college and career group that was led by Brian Creary. And she broke her arm. She had gone to St. Vital Park. And the park was locked. It was late, and she was young and irresponsible, as we all were back then. And she tried to do something. I couldn't even figure out what it was that she did with the chain and the lock and climbing, and she fell, and snap! Clean across. Broken arm. Screaming, lots of pain. The arm goes one way, and then it goes the other way. So she goes to the hospital, she gets a cast, and she's on painkillers, and she's got a long road of recovery ahead of her because it was ugly. The next day she goes to college and career group, and they are saying, let's experiment a little bit. Let's run a clinic and let's pray for the sick. Does anyone have anything that they would like prayer for? Anyone? And I'm sure that Brian at this point is like trying not to look at her. He's probably thinking, does anybody have a headache? Does anyone have a, you know, a cough? Something that would be a little bit easier to build up faith for. Laura Lee says, well, I have this broken leg. So they all gather around Laura Lee and they pray for her, and she feels the Holy Spirit. They have an experience. She gets filled up, and she feels something different in her. And they stop and they say, this is the classic vineyard prayer model, by the way. They stop in the middle of a prayer and they say, Laura Lee, just checking in with you. Are you experiencing anything? Are you feeling anything? Has anything changed? And she goes, I think my arm is better. And everyone's like, oh, that's great. Yeah, right. And maybe you should go back to the doctor tomorrow and take another x-ray. And she goes, no, I don't think I need to. And she rips the cast off! And her arm is healed. Totally healed. You can't fake that. That is so amazing. And all the people in that room, except for Brian, who had, serious theological training, everybody was like 20 to 25 years old, university students, not super spiritual, some really new Christians, some people with, addictions problems, some people, mostly nobody had their theology on straight, but it was the same Spirit that was in them that healed Laura Lee's arm, that was in the same Spirit that was in the Apostle Peter, who walked down the street, and people who got caught in his shadow were healed. That's the same Spirit. It's all the same calling. All those brand new baby Christians. And the apostles who planted the church across the world. It's the same Spirit. It's the same calling. And so we say, come Holy Spirit. We say this all the time. We say it in expectation. And we say it because we believe that the Spirit will come and will empower us in order to do things that are beyond what we can do. It'll help us to teach. It'll help us to learn. It'll help us to pray. When Natasha and I, when we invite people to our house to pray for them, sometimes this doesn't happen super often anymore, but we used to have a pretty hot, fiery prayer ministry, where people would come over to our house and the dog would jump on him and distract the whole time, and he was like, ah!
And they would come and they would say, I was at a service or I was at a thing and something happened and I don't understand it, but I need prayer for it. Or they would say, I've been dealing with this issue for X amount of time and I would like to go away. I want to be changed. I want to be set free. Natasha and I, because there's so many people with, especially in the Christian church, with baggage when it comes to prayer ministry. There's all these models out there where people stand at microphones and scream and yell the demon out! When all that does is exhaust people and humiliate people and make people feel like they're not a person and not respected and part of a show. Gosh, and I don't even like sit next to them on the couch. We say, well, you go sit over there and we'll just invite the Holy Spirit and we'll just see what he does. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit sets them. Because it's the same Holy Spirit. And you don't have to bring the baggage. All you have to do is get out of the way and let them do it. The Holy Spirit is so caring and compassionate and powerful. He wants to set people free. Sometimes when I'm teaching, I feel like he's telling me, okay, that's great. Can you shut up now? Because it's been my turn this whole time. Probably right now, he's saying that. And he's like, and so we say, come, Holy Spirit. This is who we are in the vineyard. This is so precious to us. Sometimes, and I have to confess to you, that this is my confession time, that I have not fed my expectations. I have allowed many, many times that expectation to not be there. Sometimes I'll show up, when I'm leading worship, I'll just say, well, I'll chart out my arc of, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. No? Okay, well, there's all this science to our worship leading. There's an art and then there's a science. I will chart my arc and I will think about sentiment, and I'll think about bringing people emotionally into a certain space, right? And then I have to be corrected because it's my job to lead people into the. Which Carol Wimber, again on those videos that you should look on YouTube, Carol Wimber talked about. I think it was Sean Wimber, who at the time had an inoperable brain tumor or something like that. So his, you know that. That thing when you're talking that stops you from saying the thing that you're supposed that you shouldn't say, that had started to disappear. But he was also in charge of Vineyard Worship USA at the time, and so he was standing in front of a big conference of worship leaders from around the world, and saying, he said she attributed it to the aneurysm or brain tumor, whatever it was, and she said he looks at the people in the crowd and he goes, "Your job as worship leaders is to lead people into the Spirit of God and the presence of God and then get the hell out of the way." That's my job. Maybe that's our job as worship leaders. Anyways, that was a digression. Sorry, guys. So we say, come Holy Spirit. And we say it in expectation. Because we're not gathered here just to get together and then go for parochies after. I would hate church like that. And I would stop coming. We're gathered because we worship an actual, living, and dynamic God who wants to be part of everything that we do. So, we have a little bit of time before we have to go collect the kids. And you know what? The kids can come back up here later too. So I figured, let's invite the Holy Spirit and let's see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. The Quakers used to have this thing, they had this thing where at the beginning of the service, they were called Quakers. Do you know why they're called Quakers? Do you guys know what the Quakers are? They make the oatmeal. You guys know about the Quakers? Do you know why they're called the Quakers? Because they would get together in their church service and they would quake. Like that. they would quit. They would like have these physical manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And so people made fun of them, calling them Quakers. And then they adopted them. And so I was like, yeah, okay, we quit. Whatever. It's the 17th century. But they were also, I mean, if you want spirit and social justice, marrying, this was, they were instrumental in stopping slavery in the States. So, the Quakers. Anyways, the Quakers accepted this thing where they would get together at the beginning of the church service, and they would not do anything until someone felt something from the Holy Spirit. So they would invite the Holy Spirit. This prayer is older than the vineyard. And they would essentially say, come Holy Spirit. And then they would sit in silence. Sometimes for a few seconds. And sometimes for a long time. And then someone would have a word from God. Or someone would fall down and start quaking. Or someone would have a song that God had shared, or someone would have a message. Oh, God asked me to share this with you guys, and I have a full 3-point sermon. It's 45 minutes long. The Quakers. So, why don't we invite the Holy Spirit now? And then we're going to sit and we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit and see what the Holy Spirit does. And it won't necessarily be me that says what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It won't necessarily be Andy, but it might be. He's got a thicker Bible than mine. I want you to listen. I want you to listen prophetically with your ears. I want you to hear what God wants to do. Look for if God gives you a picture, or if God gives you a word that comes up, or if God gives you some sort of like a hint or an urge or a gumption about something. Maybe God will want to heal people. Maybe God will want us to just pray to invite the Holy Spirit to infill us, like we talked about the multiple infillings of the Holy Spirit. Maybe God will want to set someone free. And then we'll just take it from there. Okay? And if you feel something, just you're totally free to just say the thing that God is asking you to do. Because you all at the same level of calling as everybody else in the world. And it's the same spirit in you as in me. Come, Holy Spirit.